recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty.
All right, welcome in. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty here with you on this rainy Monday night in Mobile, Alabama. Ian Blair running the boards for us as we're thankful that Ian has made it here as he's getting ready to start college classes over at the University of Mobile. Corey, how you doing tonight?
Dalton, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Just a lot going on. I know we're on once a week, but I tell you what, tonight is going to be an action-packed show and looking forward to talking about everything that's going down as we're on the air.
Yeah, and how about this? The SEC releasing their schedule right now. We'll certainly talk about that a whole lot during this hour. But, man, finally football is on the horizon, and as scared and nervous as so many of us got when the Big Ten and Pac-12 announced that they were going to postpone their fall seasons and play them in the spring, you know, thought the dominoes were falling, thought the SEC, Big 12, ACC might not be far behind, but that does not appear to be the case. It looks like we're going to at least start the SEC football season. And earlier today on the Paul Feinbaum show, they did release the first week of games, and right now they're releasing the rest of them. So we'll try to take you through some of what is being announced right now as we speak. But earlier, Corey, the first week SEC games were announced. These are set to be played on September 26th. And Colin Wilson from the Action Network, he actually went ahead and put some lines to these games. Oh, and I need to mention, coming up in this next segment, I thought I would lead off with this, and I completely forgot. We've got a great guest coming up. We've talked to him before on this show. Dr. Joel Erdman, the athletic director for the University of South Alabama, will be joining us. Of course, the Sun Belt seems to be following in the footsteps of the SEC, and they do plan on playing football this year. 8 conference games, 4 non-conference games. We'll talk with Dr. Joel Erdman about what things have been like for them over the last few weeks as players practice. They've been practicing under the lights at Hancock-Whitney Bank Stadium. So we have a lot of questions for Dr. Joel Erdman coming up, but we got to get into some of these SEC schedules that they're releasing right now. And as I mentioned earlier in the day, they released the week one games that are going to be played on September 26th, and I do have some corresponding odds to go with these. So we'll start with the largest odds and kind of work our way down, because there's really only one game that looks like it's going to, on its face, looking at the papers, it looks like there's going to be one tight game. Now, you know, anything can happen in the SEC, but Texas A&M will start their season at home against Vanderbilt. One of the biggest odds I've seen in a long time in the SEC, A&M favored by 37 points over the Commodores. LSU, they're going to open at home against Mississippi State. The Tigers are probably going to be right around 26-point favorites against the Bulldogs. Georgia opens on the road at Arkansas. Bulldogs will be right around 24-point favorites in that game. Alabama getting their season started at Missouri. That's one of those extra games they added here in the last couple of weeks for Alabama. And the Tide favored by 19.5 points right around there as they get their season started. Auburn will open their season at home against Kentucky. You could put the Tigers down for right around 11-point favorites. Now, Joey Gatewood, transfer to the University of Kentucky, of course, former Auburn quarterback, still waiting to see if he'll get transfer approval from the NCAA, but we could be looking at an Auburn matchup against one of their former quarterbacks in Joey Gatewood coming up in week one. Florida will open their season at Ole Miss. Gators will probably be right around 8-point favorites in that one. And then what's likely to be the tightest game in that week one, South Carolina opens at home against Tennessee, and that one is basically a pick 'em as we speak. But right now they're releasing the rest of the SEC schedules. And let's just go through Alabama and Auburn right now for how far they've gone here. I think they're right around week 5, week 6 in their release. So Alabama, after opening their season at Missouri, they'll play their first home game of the year coming up in week 2 on October 3rd with Jimbo Fisher and the Texas A&M Aggies coming to Tuscaloosa. That's a great home opener for the Alabama Crimson Tide there, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be real excited that you're even unveiling a schedule right now, Dalton, because we know with this COVID-19, we're a month away, basically 6 weeks away from college football kicking off in regard to the SEC. So a lot can happen in between now and then. It's a very fluid situation, but it, like the schedule drop that happened last Friday again, now with your conference actually put in a date to where you can travel, maybe one of those select few that are able to attend the games, that generates a lot of excitement.
Yeah, it's I'm so excited that we're talking football now, because we didn't know if it'd be a reality. Also, week two, how about this matchup? Auburn playing at Georgia October 3rd. They're not opening right out of the gates in a big game, but Auburn playing at Georgia in week two. That's a fantastic matchup there. Week three, which will be played and is scheduled for October 10th, Alabama goes back out on the road. They'll play at Ole Miss, and fun matchup there against Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. That ought to be fun.
Lane Kiffin talking a little noise, posting a few years ago now, the official score of the first time Ole Miss upset a very number one ranked Alabama team. And because of that, I think he may be licking his wounds after Alabama plays Ole Miss.
Yeah, and Auburn gets a little bit of a break after that week two game against Georgia, and they'll be home again welcoming the Arkansas Razorbacks to Jordan-Hare Stadium. That's coming up week three on October 10th. Pretty good matchup that same week. Florida plays at Texas A&M. That ought to be fun. And Tennessee plays at Georgia in week three of this SEC conference-only season. Week four, this is one that people are ready for. Georgia plays at Alabama in week four of this SEC season. Right now it's scheduled for October 17th. You also have that week Auburn playing at South Carolina, LSU playing at Florida, Kentucky at Tennessee, Texas A&M at Mississippi State, Ole Miss at Arkansas, and Vanderbilt in Missouri. But week four, at least three fantastic matchups there. That Georgia-Alabama game, we're going to figure out pretty early who's real and who's not between those top three contenders.
I mean, you look at Alabama again, at Missouri, Texas A&M at home, at Ole Miss, Georgia, at Tennessee on the 24th. I really like the fact that you're able to kind of get it the third Saturday in October still tradition-wise, and then on the 31st, Mississippi State at Alabama.
Yeah, so that third Saturday in October, they were actually, these SEC schedule makers, able to right a wrong, because it wasn't scheduled initially to be the third Saturday in October this year. I think they were going to play that Bama-Tennessee game on the fourth Saturday of October. So they were able to kind of write that. So now you have Alabama at Tennessee in week five on October 24th. Auburn will play at Ole Miss. And schedule's looking pretty good for Auburn right now as we make our way through this schedule. 5 weeks in, and I'm counting four wins for Auburn just based on the odds, because they open against Kentucky at home, then at Georgia, then against Arkansas at home, then at South Carolina, and then at Ole Miss. Right now, schedule setting up pretty nicely for the Auburn Tigers. Coming up week six, which is Halloween night, October 31st. Halloween falls on a Saturday this year. There might not be trick-or-treating, but there will be football played, hopefully. And you mentioned it earlier, Alabama is going to be at home that week against Mississippi State. You have LSU playing at Auburn on Halloween night. Hopefully fans will be allowed to be in attendance. Hopefully the students will be able to be at that game, because I can't think of a much better scenario. I can't think of a much better, you know, crowd. I mean, just imagine the students, if they're able to be at that game on Halloween night for LSU at Auburn. That ought to be fantastic. So that's week six of the schedule there, and that's as far as I've gotten right now. So we'll kind of keep updating on that as those roll in. But coming up here in this next segment, we will talk with Dr. Joel Erdman, the athletic director for the University of South Alabama. And they continue to roll on, Corey. They've been practicing. I love the video and pictures I'm seeing from the new Hancock-Whitney Bank Stadium as they've been having their fully padded scrimmages there. I mean, the thing just looks outstanding, and I'm hoping that students will be able to be on campus for those games too.
It really does. As students started class today, the biggest thing for South Alabama is getting under the lights. I mean, you're out there and you have your practice field, your indoor facility right next door, but there's nothing like having your own and being able to come out of that Jaguar gate and out of that tunnel, and that's going to be a lot of fun talking to Dr. Erdman about the emotions and feelings that he had when he witnessed the first scrimmage there as well.
Yeah, and still a lot to be decided, of course, just because they're putting the schedule out there and saying they're going to play. A lot can happen between now and I think that first game for South Alabama is scheduled for August 29th, playing against Southern Miss. I know they moved that up a couple days.
Thursday.
So that should be a really, really good one. I do, before we go into the break, I want to talk about a couple local issues here. And, Corey, something you called me about and we were talking earlier. First, ESPN will be in town week two. And we talked about this a little bit on Saturday morning on Prep Sports Report. But St. Paul's and Spanish Fort going to get the big show treatment on the worldwide leader in sports. They're going to play Friday, August 28th, and that game's supposed to be broadcast on ESPN. Of course, last year, St. Paul's got the win over Spanish Fort, 35-30. But high school is getting ready to kick off. They're going to start playing this Thursday night right here in Alabama. There are a couple local games that are going to be played Thursday night. Spanish Fort at Fairhope and Williamson at LaFleur. But the big news today, Corey, Blount and Vigors game canceled. The Blount team currently in quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, you also had statewide Dothan and Hoover was canceled. So you're starting to see those cancellations, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, coming up rest of the show, we'll talk about this SEC schedule as it's fully released and break down some of those games. But coming up next, Dr. Joel Erdman with the University of South Alabama. We'll ask him all the questions we can think of about this season and testing and practicing in the new stadium. All that and more coming up. Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. I'm Dalton Orwig. Corey LaBounty sitting to the left of me, right around 6 feet away, and talking football, how great it is to be talking about football on this here sports show. I didn't think we'd make it, Corey. We went a good 4 months without sports to talk about, and things were looking dire on the football side of things, but we are talking about a lot of football tonight. The SEC currently announcing their schedule, and our next guest, his schedule is pretty well laid out right now, and the team over there at the University of South Alabama. Dr. Joel Erdman joins us again tonight. We talked with him just a few weeks ago when things were a bit dicier, but the way I understand it, things will be dicey. That's kind of the name of the season this year. So, Dr. Erdman, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you for having us. Appreciate it, fellas.
Yeah, and it's been a wild ride, and season hasn't even started yet. So, first, I got to tell you, the video, the photos, everything I'm seeing coming from the scrimmages under the lights and during the day at that new stadium there on campus, it just looks outstanding. I'm so excited about this new on-campus stadium. And before we get into the scheduling and testing and all that fun stuff, tell us, how are we coming along on this new Hancock Whitney Bank Stadium?
Well, we have been given occupancy, which is a really good thing. And since we're a state institution, there are a state entity, the building commission, determines when facilities are approved for occupancy. And our good people that have managed the construction from beginning to approaching the end have navigated all the needed things that have to happen to get moved in, and we now, I guess you could say, we have the keys to the car, and we have moved into the North Administration Building, and so our Mobile County Commission Center for Student Athlete Excellence is starting to breathe and work, and on the third and the fourth story, we have a centralized administration. And Hancock Whitney Stadium is open for business, not necessarily for people to just walk in and look around yet, but we are ready to go, and we look forward to September 12th.
And, you know, assuming things continue to go well, because the trends, not only nationally, but here locally, things are trending well right now with COVID-19, I would say. And you know, we do those numbers every morning right here on FM Talk 106.5, and I've been looking at them. It looks great where we are right now, and hopefully those continue to drop. But you said that you guys kind of announced the plans for occupancy and how many people can come to the game. So assuming that things continue to go well with these virus trends, what are you expecting game day to look like on the USA campus? How many people will be in the stands?
We are at 25% capacity, and that was just not pulled out of a hat and identified in a random fashion. That was the result of if we have clusters of two seats, three seats, four seats, and create a buffer around those seats of 6 feet, what will that do to our capacity? And that resulted in approximately 25%. So, roughly our total capacity is about 25,500, and 25% of that is in the low to mid 6,000s. And so what we are doing right now, as a matter of fact, is our season ticket holders have been tremendous through this entire process. We have provided folks with an opt-in or an opt-out option with various opportunities, and we are now going back in and reseating those of our season ticket holders in an appropriate fashion that's properly distanced, and we hope to be done with that in about 10 days or so. And we are looking at our season ticket holders will get in the building, get in Hancock Whitney Stadium, and then the visiting fans will get 300 seats. Our player parents will get approximately 300 to 400, depending on the situation. To our knowledge, there won't be any recruiting visits to date. That might change in the future. And so the remaining seats in the stadium will all be earmarked for University of South Alabama students. So that might fluctuate from week to week a little bit, but it should be somewhere in the vicinity of about 1,800 to 2,200 seats for our great students. That we look forward to them and everyone that we can get into Hancock Whitney Stadium to, fill it in the best we can, even though it's going to be about 25%. But they'll have a great time. All the buzzers and whistles will be enacted, the video board, the ribbon boards. The marching band and cheerleaders will not be allowed on the field for safety purposes. But they will be, as of right now, they will be in the Michelob Ultra Terrace in the south end zone, which really, well, was designed to be a hospitality area for a lot of socialization. Mm-hmm. But since we're in the midst of no socialization, we are probably going to place the band that'll be properly distanced, proper distancing, proper safety to be in that Michelob Ultra Terrace along with our cheerleaders and our mascot. So it is going to be a little different, but regardless, it's going to be a great day, a great night at Hancock Whitney Stadium, and look forward to having those people in the stadium to support our student athletes.
So much excitement being generated around fall football, but there are other fall athletics that were affected this past week. NCAA President Mark Emmert said there will be no fall championships in 2020 for all NCAA Division I sports. I know that was just heartbreaking news for those student athletes who always were looking to compete for not only a conference championship, but for a national championship as well.
Right. It's a great point. And, you know, where we are as an institution and where we are, I think, as a conference is we're leaning towards competing in the fall regardless of the NCAA championships being offered or not. And our student-athletes could still pursue a Sun Belt Conference championship, which is something to be very proud of. Mm-hmm. The unknown to this is if we delay until the spring, there's an assumption, if you will, that all the fall sports would have a full season in the spring, and I don't think that's the case. I think you're looking at abbreviated schedules, regardless of if they're in September, October, November, or February, March, April, and not only abbreviated schedules, but also an abbreviated and smaller number of teams that are invited to the NCAA championship. So with that in mind and looking at where we are today, I mean, we have to be flexible. Things can change very quickly, as we all know. But football, women's soccer, volleyball, cross country, we're moving forward with our fall seasons and look forward to beyond that, to exploring how basketball is going to work for the 2020-21 season.
That's great to hear, Dr. Erdman. We're talking with Dr. Joel Erdman, the athletic director for the University of South Alabama. Now, regarding the football schedule, the SWAC conference, they were one of the first in the country to postpone their season, and that right off the bat knocked that home opener against Grambling State out of the mix. And then with the SEC going conference only, unfortunately, that knocked that big matchup against Florida in Gainesville off the schedule as well. What's the process been like for you and the rest of the Sun Belt athletic directors since these postponements began, you know, being announced?
Yeah, it's, you know, we are not accustomed to scheduling football games, you know, 30 days, 60 days out of when you play them. The majority of our football schedule is established. There's some preference in there, but, you know, we're 5 to 10 years out in many cases. And, you know, the key word again is flexibility. Mm-hmm. We lost Grambling, lost the Gators, but, you know, other schools also lost certain games. So now you're looking at the horizon and looking at people, preferably regionally, that are a bus ride away. And that's where Tulane came to note. And Troy Dannon and I, Troy's the AD at Tulane, and I touched base and said, hey, what do you think? Y'all want to come to Mobile on September 12th? And they needed a game and a road game. And it really was a deal that happened very quickly. And so we are currently at 11 games. We have 6 at home, 5 on the road. If something presents itself that is reasonable and beneficial, we might consider a 12th. But if we stay at 11, looking at our schedule, which we've got a tremendous non-conference schedule, mm-hmm. we open up at Southern Miss. We open Hancock Whitney Stadium at against Tulane. We have an off week, and then we host UAB. And then the week after that, we host Troy. So, you know, I think we're pretty good where we are. And again, if something presents itself and it's beneficial, we'll explore it, but I think we'll probably stay at 11 games.
Also, I think I saw something about, in regards to the mask, South Alabama opted to go away from the neck gaiters and decide to just go with the mask that cover the nose and the mouth. Did I see that correctly?
There's actually, you know, in the ever-evolving world of COVID, the gaiters that are made of a certain substance, whether natural cotton, kind of, or polyesterish, inorganic, one seems more effective than the other. And so on campus, in the classroom settings, around the residence halls, in the dining facilities, we are being asked to wear the more the traditional face masks, if you will, that look like surgical masks. They're not, you know, the high energy ones, mm-hmm. but the regular face coverings. The gaiters are still permissible and encouraged for situations that are vigorous physically. So as we're playing football or volleyball or whatever sport it may be, we will still utilize the gaiters unless told otherwise. And, you know, the gaiters are pulled up when we're not grasping for air in a significant fashion. But if a student athlete is coming off the field or coming off the court, and they need to really get their lungs full of good oxygen, they're allowed to pull that down, separate themselves. We actually have designated areas that are supposed to be utilized for kids to separate, get good distance between each other, and breathe heavily until you get your breath back. Then when you're on the sidelines, put the gaiter back up. And we're also looking at some possible face shield options, which, you know, depending on who you talk to, are effective or not effective. So, I mean, it really is. It's an ever-evolving topic. Mm-hmm. And well, what, what's Oklahoma doing today? And what's South Alabama doing today? And we're all following the guidelines as prescribed, but we're trying to find the most feasible, safe options that when you know, talking specifically about football, when it's 98 degrees out, what is realistic as far as face coverings and face shields? So that is a topic that will continue to evolve and probably change as the heat of the early fall turns into more cool weather.
You know, it's such a massive change for everyone right now in this COVID world. How have you felt the response from the student athletes, the coaching staffs, the administrative staffs? How do you feel that South Alabama as a whole has responded to all these changes?
I'm not saying this with any type of arrogance. I think we're handling it as well as anyone. And I think we're surrounded by very capable people who are professional in what they do and knowledgeable in what they do, and they care. And we are guided by experts in this field. We have we're so fortunate to have the USA Health System, and within the USA Health System, we have experts at the national and international level in infectious diseases. We have experts in testing protocol, and we have experts in sports medicine and general medicine. So this is not a matter of, you know, athletic personnel just creating a pathway and going down it. This is a matter of we in athletics are executing a plan, and that plan comes from people and are monitored by people who are experts in the area, and they advise us, and they, you know, they tell us what's a green light, they tell us what's a red light, and they tell us what's a yellow light. And so I feel very comfortable with our process. We're taking in the advisement of the NCAA. We're taking in the advisement of a very active and tremendous COVID advisory board from the Sun Belt Conference, which as a conference, they've brought in experts from the conference schools to advise us on everything from practice protocol to testing protocol to pregame protocol to stadium capacity protocol to, you know, here's best practices here, here's best practices there. And so, you know, it's one thing that has been incredibly refreshing through this unique time is you have an appreciation for the good people and people that know what they're doing, and we're doing this for all the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And it's not just shooting from the hip.
Yeah, you could tell, and the organization starts at the top, and you've obviously done a fantastic job with getting all those ducks in a row. We're talking with Dr. Joel Erdman, and Dr. Erdman, have a couple questions left for you. We're so appreciative of your time with us here on Sports Night, but we were talking about scheduling earlier, and that Florida game that was, taken off the schedule because of the SEC going conference only, and you talked about how far out you have to schedule these games. I'm wondering, what are the odds we remake that game down the road? Because, of course, pulling the big upset would be, first and foremost, would be the best thing for the school, but there's money involved too, and these big schools, when they play a school in the Sun Belt or in these other Group of Five conferences, there's usually a check they write too, and I know that would be pretty important to the university as well.
It is, and, you know, I want to, you know, make sure I recognize the professional nature of the University of Florida and Scott Strickland. You know, we didn't hear about our game getting canceled from a tweet from a conference office. We were contacted by Florida representatives, and Scott and I actually have not talked personally, but we traded voicemails, and he reached out, and their folks reached out in a very open and transparent manner and said, listen, this is happening. So that's deeply appreciated. I think once the, you know, the dust settles a little bit here over the next whatever time frame, whenever the dust does begin to settle, we'll reach out, and we'd love to go to Gainesville. And, you know, very similar to a couple of years ago, we had our game at LSU canceled,
postponed,
and we were able to get, you know, get the Tigers on the schedule here in the near future. So I think that is something that we look forward to doing with the Gators and travel to Gainesville.
Well, Dr. Erman, you've done a wonderful job, and I know it's been hard on your coaches not to be able to have recruits on campus, having to watch recruits on Zoom or whatever other resource is available to the college coaches to see student-athletes and prospects participate. But according to a source I see, the NCAA will not require prospects in the class of 2021 to provide an SAT or ACT score to the NCAA Eligibility Center due to COVID-19. I think that affected the way that the 2020 seniors came into the universities as well, and that's an ever-changing dynamic of the function of the NCAA as a whole.
It is, and you know, I think you know, we are in a time frame that's so we have a fairly complicated industry, you know, and yeah. and it's at the core of it is we're trying to provide access to a great experience to wonderful, aspiring young men and young ladies. And I think we're at a time where we and we as an industry and the NCAA and institutions are going to be very open-minded and accepting and forgiving of anything that might constrain young men and young ladies in their pursuit of getting to chase that dream. So I applaud the NCAA for that, and the intent, you know, the intent is to help people through a tough time. You know, we always have to be mindful of unintended consequences down the road, you know, but I think the heart's in the right place, and you know, something that's refreshing is for the most part, the vast majority of people are trying to help everybody else through this unique time.
Well, Dr. Erdman, we thank you so much for coming on with us tonight on Sports Night, for being so forthcoming, and wish you the best of luck this season. I know there's still a lot in the air. A lot can change between now and the end of the year, but we wish you the best of luck and hope to talk with you again soon.
Happy to, fellas. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Erdman.
That's Dr. Joel Erdman, Athletic Director for the University of South Alabama. And, yeah, they're going to open the season at Southern Miss, and then that home opener with Tulane coming to Mobile on September 12th. Can't wait. And what a year. What a year to open a new stadium on campus. I know they were hoping to have it filled to the brim there with students and locals and band and everything. Of course, it's a different year. Everybody's got to adjust. And it sounds like Dr. Erdman has everything going as good as possible over on the University of South Alabama campus. So we really appreciate him coming on with us tonight. And SEC, they have released the entire 10-game schedule for this year. We'll go more in depth on that, give you the entire Bama and Auburn lineups coming up here in these next couple of segments. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty with you on this Monday night. I want to thank South Alabama Athletic Director Joel Erdman for joining us. And it appears that all systems are a go for the Sun Belt Football Conference. Well, they're not conference only. Sun Belt football season coming up starting at the end of this month. So we should see some live football being played in just 2 weeks, Corey. Outstanding news. And hopefully, you know, we continue heading down that track. But the SEC 10-game conference-only schedule has been officially released. And why don't we do this? Why don't we go down the Alabama schedule and then the Auburn schedule so we'll know kind of what we're looking at for this year. And we went over some of the first games, but we'll just go over them again here. So Alabama, they're going to open the season September 26th, just like every other SEC school. And they will be playing at Missouri in week one. Some odds makers have already put some numbers out there. Looks like Alabama will be right around 3 touchdown favorites over Missouri as they begin the season. And then week two, a pretty big home game and the home opener for Bama. Jimbo Fisher and the Texas A&M Aggies coming to Tuscaloosa on October 3rd. Then an away game at Ole Miss, the Lane Kiffin. I guess it's not quite a revenge game yet, but you know Lane Kiffin really, really wants to win that one against Nick Saban. That's week three for Alabama. Week four, a massive game on the Tide schedule there at home against Georgia on October 17th. As Corey mentioned earlier, they keep the third Saturday in October rivalry intact and on the exact correct date. October 24th, Bama plays at Tennessee, and then Halloween night home against Mississippi State, followed by a bye week on November 7th. Auburn also gets a bye week that week. We'll talk about Auburn's schedule here in just a moment. And then following the bye week, I mean, if you're paying attention, this schedule is probably setting up about as perfectly as it possibly could for Nick Saban. After the bye week at LSU for Alabama, and then November 21st, home against Kentucky. A second home game after that, a little game called the Iron Bowl. They kept it right where it was meant to be, Corey, and I know you're a little bit upset about that, but November 28th, after Thanksgiving, the Iron Bowl will be played in Tuscaloosa, and then Bama wraps up their regular season December 5th at Arkansas. So schedule looks like it's lining up pretty good. You don't have any of these major programs that should be contending this year back-to-back for Alabama. And as far as cupcakes go, there aren't many in the SEC, but the schedule is lined up pretty good for Alabama. Tell me, you were a little upset when you saw they kept that Alabama-Auburn game so late in the season.
You know, I was hoping they would go with the Iron Bowl early, but just because of this pandemic, you're not knowing what the situation's going to be. And when you go to that 10-game schedule, Dalton, I told you what my philosophy was a month ago or 2 months ago in regards to playing that game every other week. If somebody catches it, give them that 10-day grace period. But when you start looking at Alabama's schedule, again, there's a trap game, Texas A&M. You just can't take them lightly. Jimbo Fisher's being paid a lot of money. The good thing is it is in Tuscaloosa. And at Missouri is no cupcake in regards to you're in a situation to where you can't take any games for granted.
You can't.
Not in the SEC, especially under the circumstances, but the game at Georgia at home is going to be huge. And then, again, you mentioned the Iron Bowl. I just don't like that. The November 14th game at LSU, it's a big November 14th week because I think the Masters is that third week.
That's right.
That second week as well with no fans. But that's if you're a sports fan and we're able to make it to that time, it's going to be a great weekend for football and golf.
Man, I'm on cloud nine right now talking about these upcoming events we have. And, you know, I think, and you're right, every team needs to take every team seriously with this conference-only schedule. But the way they set this up, and the week one announcement came a few hours ago, but it really looks to me like the powers that be, the people that are in charge at the SEC, put the teams that are most likely to compete for a national championship, they gave them teams that they should beat in week one. It's not the cupcakes. No one's playing San Jose State in week one, obviously. But with Texas A&M against Vanderbilt, LSU, Mississippi State, Georgia, Arkansas, Alabama, Missouri, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss, those teams that are currently ranked and ranked highly, they should win those games. I think the SEC did that on purpose.
And it's a situation to where I know – they're cognizant of what goes on. But I had to go and actually look at the calendar, Dalton, for Alabama's football schedule when we started looking at when that game, the Iron Bowl, was going to be played, when the Tennessee-Alabama game was going to be played. October's a funky month in 2020, meaning that there are 5 Saturdays in October on the calendar. And because the game is being played October 24th, it actually winds up being the 4th Saturday
in
October.
Come on.
And that's what's messed up about that situation. You do like the tradition of the third Saturday in October, but that's okay too. I just think that the draw that Bama has, you know, again, the team that's going to beat Alabama is Alabama, and that's why they were preseason ranked number 3 prior to the other conferences backing out.
You know, all I'm hearing, that's exactly what Tennessee needed. They needed them to change the date on the calendar. This is the year, Corey. This is the year that the Vols finally knock off Alabama and Nick Saban. I can feel it. 4th Saturday in October, it's exactly what Jeremy Pruitt and the team needed.
That's what they needed.
All right, we'll run to the break really quickly, and we'll come back with the Auburn schedule. We'll break that one down after we just broke the Alabama schedule down. And also, you know, I don't think it's over for the Big Ten and the Pac-12. I think there's a chance they reverse course. I'll tell you why I think that when we come back. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, here we go, wrapping up FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night on this Monday night, and the SEC schedule is out. We just went down the list for Alabama, and I think Corey agrees with me. It looks like the schedule sets up about as well as it possibly could in this strange, strange year of 2020. Now let's go down the Auburn schedule as it stands right now. They're going to open the season at home against the University of Kentucky, and I mentioned at the very top of the show, but could have a matchup against a former Auburn quarterback there if Joey Gatewood gets the transfer approval from the NCAA. So I saw somebody on Twitter earlier, I can't remember who, but predicting the upset week one, saying that they think Kentucky with Gatewood at quarterback would beat the Auburn Tigers.
It'll be a better game with him at quarterback, I'll say that.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And but, you know, they got Terry Wilson there. He's no slouch. He's no Lynn Bowden Jr. either, but he's still pretty good at quarterback. I still think Auburn wins that one. Week two, it gets hot for Auburn fast. They're playing at Georgia in week two. A huge matchup there. Week three, they get a little bit of a
reprieve.
One of the SEC's two cupcakes, if you want to call Arkansas and Vanderbilt cupcakes. But they play Arkansas in Auburn, week three on October 10th. October 17th, Will Muschamp, they play at South Carolina. And then October 24th, they get the Lane Kiffin treatment. They play at Ole Miss. So two road games in a row there for Auburn. Then Halloween night, this sets up perfectly. LSU coming to the Plains. You've got LSU at Auburn on Halloween night, October 31st. The week after that, Auburn gets probably by then a much-deserved bye. And then November 14th, they're back out on the road. They play at Mississippi State. Of course, they added Tennessee to the schedule these last couple weeks, and that game will come on November 21st. Auburn at home against Tennessee. That sets up the Iron Bowl matchup November 28th. So Auburn goes from playing Tennessee at home to playing at Alabama in Tuscaloosa. That's obviously a huge game. And then December 5th, to wrap up the regular season for Auburn, they play at home against Texas A&M. To me, that looks like the toughest three-game stretch for them, and that'll wrap up the season. But you also have early games against Georgia, and then LSU sitting right there in the middle of the schedule before their first bye.
Trap game at South Carolina for Auburn.
Yeah, you're right. They with Arkansas the week before, probably coming off a big win there, and they have at South Carolina. That's a huge, huge matchup. So, man, I'm excited about this schedule. I was kind of looking through the LSU schedule a little bit earlier. I mean, everybody's got tough games
right in
the SEC this year. There's no way around it. But LSU, they're basically rebuilding. You know, they lost a lot of players to the NFL. They have Joe Burrow is obviously out, but they've got that young quarterback stepping into his place. But that's not the only guy they have to replace. LSU opens their season Mississippi State first game, and then at Vanderbilt, Missouri, at Florida. So they at least have a few weeks there to kind of settle in.
But what about your teaser, Dalton? What is the Big Ten going to
do? So the Big Ten thing here. They've been talking, media people have been talking with some athletic directors, some people that are in charge in the Big Ten, and it was pretty interesting earlier today, the athletic director for Penn State, Sandy Barber, who I believe was the first to start talking about the cancellation of the season and how she thought that might happen. But she said there might not have actually been a vote in the Big Ten, that the presidents and chancellors, she's not sure they ever actually voted on it. This was kind of just another president here of Minnesota, Joan Gable. She said it was a deliberative process where we came to a decision together, and that they supported the decision. Well, clearly the rest of the Big Ten does not support that decision. If you've seen the Justin Fields petition and all these things, Barber did say, the Penn State athletic director, she did say she doesn't think the conference presidents will change their minds and reinstate the season. I'm not the athletic director for a Big Ten school, but I could totally see this happening with all of the pushback they've gotten from fans, players, big-time donors, even athletic directors. One thing that I've read that was a major stick-up for a lot of these conferences, not just the Big Ten and Pac-12, the prices of testing these players. And they have to test not just the football players, but all student-athletes. The cheapest they were able to get a COVID-19 test was $79. And you multiply that by hundreds and do that weekly, you work into hundreds of thousands of dollars just a few weeks in. Well, they just recently, over the weekend, approved a saliva test that'll probably go for around $10 or $15, make it much, much more affordable. I could see see them changing course?
I don't know if they're going to change course, but 250,000 signatures by quarterback Justin Fields from Ohio State, that's very impressive. And he's going to continue to pull on his behalf, and we'll see if it works out. I don't think it's going to work out, but we'll see here, Pac-12 out of business.
Well, it's been a busy Monday night, and lots to talk about. Not only the rest of this week, but coming up next Monday night, we'll break down some more football. And coming up next, Sweet Home Canabama with Jennifer Boozer. Have a good one.